this morning, we turn to yet another piece of DTR. DTR. Define that relationship. Two words this morning. Two words. Simply these. The cross. The cross. Again, the scripture passage that really has been the center of this series is from Luke 23. Then he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The cross. The cross. How'd you sleep last night? Any of you worry about the time change? Yes? No? When did you set your clocks way ahead? Like at noon where you're already working at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Or you know, some of you? How many of you, anybody get up late this morning? Nobody? Anybody get up early? A few of you. You know, when there's those changes, we don't sleep so well. And yet in our world, when it comes to sleep, it is a huge industry. It's just over a year ago that I went through the process of searching for a new mattress. Now, if you've done this lately, again, there are a lot to choose from. It's not just the old standard box springs anymore, but you can look at a bunch of different options. And for me, now that I'm, again, 50 years old and I'm falling apart, the idea of a good mattress was important. And on top of that, I thought, oh, I want a mattress that's going to take away some of the aches and some of the pains. And so I went and I looked at the sleep doctor. And I went and I looked at sleep numbers. And I went and I looked at Tempur-Pedic. And I went and I laid on these beds and I said to myself, what is it that makes me the most comfortable? Maybe you remember the big movement of probably the 80s, and that was the waterbed. I had one of those, all right? Loved it, all right? But again, the idea of how is it that I can be most comfortable? I went around looking at these mattresses, and then what did I do? Then I called my wife. And I said, okay, I think I got it narrowed down. You got to come and try them out. And so he went to the store, and I said, I have my favorite. Now you get to pick, all right? And so what did she do? She laid on this bed. It was like Little Red Riding Hood, right? And then she laid on this bed, and she laid on this bed. And finally she said, this one is the most comfortable. That's the world we live in, folks. Think about it. We want to do things that bring comfort to our lives. If I said to you, would you prefer to go to a day spa for a massage and a steam bath or the dentist, which would you choose? Yeah, anybody says the dentist, you're sick, all right? No. We look for comfort within our lives. Or one of the things that they brought up was this. They said, would you rather wear a pair of wooden clogs or a pair of your favorite sneakers? When I thought about it, I thought, all you Dutchmen, would you rather wear wooden shoes or your favorite sneakers? And if you know anything about wooden shoes, what do you have to have in order to make wooden shoes comfortable, Dutchmen? Lots of socks to make them comfortable. We live in our world and in our lives saying, how is it that we can be more comfortable? Think there's a reason that lazy boys are so popular? Or why, again, we worry about having enough food or enough money, or we worry about whether or not we'll be satisfied and comfortable? There's a danger in this. And the danger is that our drive for comfort in our lives, our drive to feel good, often affects our faith. We put it right into our faith. We put it right into our churches, and we say, the most important thing is how can we be comfortable? When is the last time that you knelt in church? It used to be part of the service. It used to be part of prayer. It used to be part of confession. There used to be kneeling benches. And yet we don't kneel anymore. Why? Oh, Pastor, my knees. I can't do that. It's not comfortable. When's the last time that you went to church willingly, someplace in the middle of August, without air conditioning? That's mine. You know that. I go to Gun Lake Chapel in the summertime, and it's 95 degrees, and I'm like, oh, Lord, you cannot speak through me today. That's all I got to say. Because I'm not comfortable. Or this morning, what are you sitting on? Well, you say we're sitting on pews, right? But what kind of pews? Padded pews. Why? Oh, Pastor, those old pews that are just wood, they're hard on my behind. They hurt my back. We want to be comfortable. It goes from there just to the whole idea that many of our churches are teaching a padded gospel, a gospel that makes us feel comfortable. And with that in mind, we become fans because we like comfort. Fans like to sit in the skybox with the air conditioning and the theater seating and the refreshments right there and just look out over the playing field. But we are far removed from that playing field. And the message of Christ so often can become cross-opedic. Comfortable, soft, easy to live with, and lifeless. Lifeless. So now let's go back to those two words. Define the relationship. What do you do with the cross? What do you do with the cross? It says, take up your cross and follow me. For those of us that are fans, when we think about this whole idea of taking up the cross, it's because we put it on t-shirts or we put it in the architecture of our buildings. We make it look pretty. We wear little necklaces with crosses or earrings. We put it in the back of our sermons. We talk about it really only at Easter. And it becomes comfortable. And we even rationalize it. We rationalize it by saying, but Pastor, the cross doesn't really sell in our world today. Because if you look at the cross, it's about suffering and it's about pain. It's about death. And then you take it a step further and say, we're supposed to have our own cross? That isn't good PR. It really doesn't help sales in our business, Pastor. This whole idea of the cross is not a good deal. In the first century church, people looked at Christians and said, are you nuts? The cross was that symbol of weakness to them, of torture, of foolishness, of death. And in today's world, many people see it that way as well. It would be as if we were wearing, instead of crosses around our neck, guillotines around our neck. And we would say, that's crazy. That's not comfortable. So why in the world does Jesus bring this whole idea of the cross into our lives? And when we define the relationship, when we look at whether or not we're a fan or whether or not we're a follower, We need to understand that God transforms through those two words, the cross. God takes this message that the world would see as folly and as foolishness and makes it powerful. Powerful. He transforms the message of the cross and shows it to us as something that can be pivotal, transformational within our lives. What do I mean? He takes something that the world sees as a defeat and makes it a victory. He takes the cross, something of guilt, and makes it something of grace. He takes a cross and takes it from something of condemnation to something of freedom. He takes it from pain and suffering to healing and hope. You see, God takes this symbol, this cross, that we are called to pick up daily and to be followers, and says it's no longer about death, but it is about life. And the cross and our lives and our relationship with God are called not to be comfortable, but to be transformational. Transformational. That when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, it isn't easy, it isn't simple, but it will change our lives forever. And we need to understand that if we are called to be followers, if we are truly those who stand up and say, I want to follow, then what God did with the cross, God can do with us. And that's why Jesus says what he does when he says, pick up your cross and follow me. It's because Jesus wants us to be transformed. It's because Jesus wants us to define the relationship in such a way that we are going to pick up that cross and look at the world differently. And that more importantly, the world is going to look at us differently. Because suddenly, those that were weak become strong. Suddenly, those who were lost are now found. Suddenly, those who are dead are now alive. You see, the cross changes us. It challenges us. It transforms us. That when we are able to look at this cross, we are saying, we are all in. Each of us, all in. That's why we're here. We don't want to be comfortable, but we want to be transformed every day in order to live life to its fullest, in order to be the person that God is calling us to be. It's not about that comfort. Followers embrace the cross. Followers embrace the cross. You are not going to find a follower in the skybox. You're going to find followers on the playing field. You're going to find followers sweating. You're going to find followers working hard at practice. You're going to find followers involved in a way in which God can take control, in which God can transform their lives, in which we don't value the comfort that the world says is so important, but instead we look and say, God, I'm going to pick up my cross daily, change me, grow me, show me your way, and don't ever let me stop. I wish I could tell you it's easy. It's not. I wish I could tell you it's simple, but it's not. It's challenging, it's difficult, and it is uncomfortable. We talked about it last week. Why is it that we don't like to be intimate with God? Because we're afraid. We're afraid of really showing ourselves. And why is it that we're afraid of this verse? Because if we pick up our cross, then God is going to change our lives. There might be pain. There might be humiliation. There might be rejection, just like Christ. But then there will also be new life. A transformed life. A fulfilling life. A life that changes us from our very inner being. Over the last couple years, something strange has happened, in my mind, in this church. And it's continued again this year. And it's of no doing of mine at all. And that is that some of you, young and old, have began this whole let's do running. Let's run in half marathons. Let's run in New Year's runs. Let's do run camps. Let's run together. None of my doing. Trust me, all right? Why in the world do you do it? As far as I'm concerned, running is not comfortable. As far as I'm concerned, running is painful. As far as I'm concerned, running is somewhat humiliating to me. But it can change your life. Hard work, painful, a little humiliating, challenging, difficult, not comfortable, but transformational. And I am so proud as I drive around and I see many of you running down the streets. And I wish I could say that you're all running like this. But I'm sorry to say that most of you are running like this. But you are changing your lives. And that's what the cross is about. That it's not easy and it's difficult and it's challenging, but it is new life that Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. Two words, the cross. How is it that those two words fit into your life? How is it that they fit into defining the relationship for you? Is the cross the status quo? Is the cross that comfortable padded pew? Is the cross that message of Christ that is lifeless? Or is the cross something that is radical? Something that is transformational? Something that brings new life and brings it abundantly into your lives? That's what the follower experiences, not the fan. We're going to watch this little video here. And again, ask that question, the cross. What is it for you? How is it that it helps define the relationship of Christ in your life today?
You know, I would assume if I didn't know any better, which for most of my life I didn't, I would assume that Jesus' goal is either to make people believe or behave. That he wants everybody to believe in him or he wants everybody to behave for him. And when you actually read the Bible, that's not what Jesus asked of people. There's a little of that, but for the most part, he doesn't. And really, if you think about it, it doesn't do anything for Jesus if you believe in him. You know, he exists whether you believe in him or not. And I'm sure we are supposed to behave, I guess, and it's good to do that. But what we see Jesus asking people is to follow him, not to believe, not to be able, but he says over and over, follow me. originally when I started trying to figure out what does that mean to follow Jesus? The dude's invisible. You know, when he said that in the Bible, people could see him and they could literally follow him. So how do I follow him? And so at first I assumed it just meant to be moral. You know, if I do the right things and don't do the wrong things, and follow the Ten Commandments, I'm following Jesus. But I don't think that that's it at all. When you look at what it looked like for people in the Bible to follow Jesus, it wasn't about becoming more moral. Maybe they did, but it was an adventure. I mean, they followed Jesus, and so therefore, they're now out in the middle of this lake in this horrible storm that they shouldn't have gone out in, or they're now dealing with this crazy man, or they're, you know, following Jesus to their death, you know, and just crazy things. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, it says, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and those who followed were astonished and afraid. And I think when you follow Jesus, you should almost always be astonished or afraid. If you claim to be following Jesus and you're very rarely astonished by what he's doing in your life or afraid of where he's leading you, you're probably not following Jesus, because he's going to lead you into places that make you uncomfortable and that you would never go on your own. He's going to ask you to do things that you don't think you're capable of. I mean, that's who Jesus is in the Bible, and I can't imagine that he's changed.
So when you think about the cross in your life, are you astonished and are you afraid? That struck me in that video. Again, for me, the cross, it's nice, it's comfortable, been raised, it's packaged well. But when's the last time I've been astonished and afraid because I've picked up my cross and I've followed? The cross. Define the relationship. Are we fans or are we followers?